Not long ago, my friend Gabrielle reached out with some sad news. She said her aunt and her uncle were getting divorced. And naturally, she was worried about them, but she was especially worried about their children, her five cousins. And so she wanted to know, how can I help them? What can I do to help them? And perhaps you find yourself in a similar situation. You love or you lead someone from a divorce or a broken family, and maybe you've seen them struggling, like with emotional problems, bad habits, relationship struggles, or whatever else. Or maybe you haven't seen them struggle because they've hidden it so well. Whatever the case, you want to help them, but you feel unequipped. You don't know what to say or do, which leaves you feeling kind of helpless or even powerless, and it really shouldn't be that way. In this episode, you'll hear three tips that you can use right away to help anyone whose parents are divorced, separated, or maybe their family is really dysfunctional. Also, I'm so thrilled to unveil a new and free resource on how to help someone from a divorced or broken family so you can say and do the right things, avoid the wrong ones, and offer real help. So whether you're a parent, grandparent, sibling, significant other, relative, friend, or a leader like a coach, teacher, pastor, youth minister, missionary, counselor, whoever else, this episode will help you to help the person in your life from a divorce or broken family. So keep listening. Welcome to the Restored Podcast, helping you heal and grow from the trauma of your parents' divorce, separation, or broken marriage so you can feel whole again and break the cycle. I'm your host, Joey Ponarelli. This is episode 97. Before I get into the three tips, you might be new to the podcast and asking the question, who are you to offer such advice? It's a fair question, so I wanted to introduce myself. The truth is, I'm not a psychologist. I don't have my PhD, so what do I bring to the table? And to answer that question, I want to go back in time. When I was 11 years old, my parents separated and later got divorced, and it absolutely shattered my world. It came out of the blue, and it brought a ton of pain and problems into my life, such as emotional problems like loneliness, depression, anxiety, a lot of anger for me as a boy, and low self-esteem. I dealt with bad habits like pornography, relationship struggles, like just being terrified of love and relationships, of marriage, struggling to trust. I dealt with a lot of failed relationships, kind of feeling lost in my dating relationships and feeling just really afraid as I went toward marriage. And I struggled, you know, a lot in my relationship with my parents as well, and a lot of other things as well. And it really left me feeling stuck and unsure how to heal. And so I looked around for some help. And I was shocked to find that there was really nothing practical to help a young person like me at the time heal from the breakdown of my family. And it also shocked me because I saw how my siblings were struggling. I saw how close friends of mine who were going through their parents' divorce were struggling. And over the years, I started reading the research and just understanding that this is a huge problem, but for some reason, it isn't getting the attention it deserves. For example, the US Census says that each year, over 1 million American children go through their parents' divorce. It's hard to even wrap your head around that number. Every year, over 1 million children, which they define as anyone 17 and younger, go through their parents' divorce again, but it's not getting the attention it deserves. And as a result, young people who've endured the trauma of their parents' divorce or their broken family are not getting the help that they deserve. And as a result of that, they continue to struggle in numerous ways. So after having some success in the business world, I started this nonprofit and this podcast to build the resources for teenagers and young adults from divorced or broken families that I really wish I would have had years ago. Again, I'm not a psychologist. I don't have my PhD, but what I do offer is 20 years of experience searching for and finding solutions to the pain and the problems from my parents' breakup. I've done over 10 years of mentorship or spiritual direction, more than 7 years of counseling. For over 5 years, I've been researching this topic and mentoring young people from broken families. I'm an author, speaker, in addition to being a podcast host as well. I'm also a husband and a father. I won't go into my bio more, but with that, I want to offer three tips that you can use to help someone from a divorced or broken family. The first tip is to understand their pain. Understand their pain. If you want to help anyone, regardless of the problem that they're going through, you really have to understand the pain, the experience, the problem that they're facing. And if you don't really understand what they're going through, you might end up offering help that isn't actually helpful and might even be harmful. And so the question arises, like, how does divorce affect the children? And by extension, how does it affect people in cases of extreme dysfunction at home? Well, research shows that children of divorce are more likely to have social problems, behavioral problems. They're more likely to struggle in their relationship with their parents. They're more likely to struggle in romantic relationships, more likely to get divorced, more likely to struggle with depression or violence. They're at higher risk for suicidal attempts, more health problems, less success in school, more emotional problems, and lower self-esteem. And one of the sources for those findings was a meta-analysis. Meta-analysis, if you're not familiar with that, is where researchers just look at studies that have already been conducted and summarize the findings. In this particular meta-analysis, they looked at 67 different studies. That study was published in the Journal of Family Psychology by Professor Paul Amato from Penn State. He's one of the authorities, one of the researchers on this topic. Another researcher who spent a ton of time studying this topic is Dr. Judith Wallerstein. She studied children of divorce for 25 years, and she wrote about it in her great book called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce. And in that 25-year-long study, she followed 131 young people from 60 families. And one important detail of the study is that the children never had any emotional or developmental problems prior to the divorce. And then she observed the effect that the divorce had on them and compared them to their peers who came from intact families. And by the way, going into the research, she had this expectation that the divorce would affect them minimally, like very little, if any at all. And if it did affect them, the effects would be temporary. They would be short-lived. But after years of studying this topic, she said this. She said, our findings challenge the myth that divorce is a transient crisis and that as soon as parents reestablish their lives, the children will recover fully. That doesn't happen. In her research, she found that children of divorce were less likely to get married. They're more likely to get divorced. They were less likely to have children. They were much more likely to heavily use drugs or alcohol during high school, less likely to finish high school, less likely to go to college, and more likely to drop out of college. And they were far less likely to receive financial support from their parents for college. And interestingly, the men were far less likely to enter an intimate relationship. And Dr. Judith said this after years of studying this topic. She said, parents like to believe that if they are unhappy in their marriage, the children also will be unhappy. Conversely, if divorce is better for them, it will be better for the children. But things don't work that way. Children frequently do not share their parents' unhappiness with a problematic marriage, while a divorce brings pain into their lives that until now has gone unrecognized. She said, we are allowing the children to bear the psychological, economic, and moral brunt of divorce. Two main takeaways from her research. One is, she said that the full effects from your parents' divorce actually aren't experienced until adulthood, around college age. She called that the sleeper effect. You might be affected before then, but the full effects typically don't come out until around that age or beyond. And she said the area of our lives that's most impacted by our parents' divorce is actually our own romantic relationships and our future marriages. Now, I understand all of this is a bit heavy. The good news is that you can help the people in your life who come from divorced families, who come from broken families. But again, in order to truly help them, we have to understand what they're going through. We have to understand the problem before we offer that help. Some practical ideas that you can use today: make use of free content on this topic, whether that's this podcast, our blog, or some other source. On this podcast, if you're not familiar, we interview people who've gone through their parents' divorce or come from a broken family and let them tell their unfiltered story. On the blog, too, we publish stories from our audience, people like you, on how their parents' divorce or their broken family has affected them. Again, you can check those out in the show notes. We'll put links to our blog and to other episodes on this podcast. You could also buy and read books if you want to spend some money on this. Primal Loss is a great book. The Now Adult Children of Divorce Speak is the subtitle. It features 70 stories of adult children of divorce, kind of looking back on their life when their parents divorced and the time from then until now. A lot of these authors were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. And so it's really interesting to see how many of them were removed years from the divorce, but they were still seeing the effects in their lives. And then the other one I mentioned before is Dr. Judith Wallerstein's 25-year-long study report. That's called The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce. The 25-year landmark study is a subtitle. And then humbly, I'd offer our new and free resource. It's a course, a video course, and at the end, I'll tell you how you can get it, but that will really help you understand their pain. And it summarizes, again, it's just 2 hours. It summarizes about a lot of these findings, a lot of these resources that I mentioned to make it a little bit more digestible and actionable for you. So tip number one, understand their pain. Tip number two, don't sugarcoat. What often happens when you go through your parents' divorce is that well-intentioned people, in order to console us, will say things like, your family is just changing, it isn't ending, or now you have two homes and twice as many Christmas presents. And again, these are often well-intentioned people, but the truth is, it's actually harmful to say things like that. Why is that? Because divorce is traumatic. It hurts. And when people make light of it like that or try to look on the bright side, we feel like we shouldn't feel bad. In fact, we might think that something's wrong with us for feeling hurt by the divorce, by our family falling apart. And we certainly tend not to trust people who do that because they clearly don't understand how painful it is to watch your family fall apart. In fact, one young woman who came on the podcast, Emily, she shared that her parents' separation was really painful for her. Everything that led up to it and the separation itself, it was really painful for her. And the day after her parents officially separated, Emily went to school. And she knew that everyone knew. It was like a public knowledge that everyone knew that her parents had separated. And she said that everyone acted like it wasn't a big deal. Everyone acted like it was normal. And that was so confusing to her because she felt so hurt by it. And so she started to think, is something wrong with me for feeling hurt by what happened in my family? Because again, everyone's acting like it's normal, or some people might even be acting like it's this great thing, it's for the best. And so instead of sugarcoating, call divorce what it is, a tragedy, a trauma, a really hard thing to endure, an injustice for the children, even in those extreme cases where it's necessary, where a separation at least is necessary to protect the spouse and the children if there's abuse or violence, things like that. Even in those cases, it's an injustice because every child deserves a healthy family and a mom and a dad who love each other, who love them and stay together. So again, don't sugarcoat, don't tell them how to feel, be real and call divorce and a broken family what it is, a tragedy. And some practical things that you can do today, think back on like how have you handled conversations like this when it comes to divorce and broken families recently, you know, this year, past few months, whatever, if this topic has come up, how have you handled those conversations? And then going forward, just watch your language. You know, when you're tempted to say something like, oh, it's for the best, or say something, everyone's happier, check yourself and just think through what the research shows and what these stories of young people who've been through this show, that no, this is actually a really painful, traumatic thing to go through. And again, if this topic comes up in the future, you know, think through what can you say next time when you speak to someone who comes from a divorced or broken family, even if they might make light of the situation. I've seen that a lot too. Like we kind of make light of the situation, even though it's really painful because we've seen other people do that as well. So, you know, what can you say next time when you speak to someone like this? Or maybe when you speak to someone who's not from a divorced family, not from a broken family, how can you kind of accurately represent this experience in those conversations? So again, that tip is don't sugarcoat, and that's tip number two. Tip number three, give them a break. During my parents' divorce, it was so helpful to have kind of safe places to go to. We lived near some really good families, and so my siblings and I would spend a lot of time at their homes, and I felt more at ease and even safer in their homes than I did in my own, even years after the separation and the divorce. And so young people who are going through this situation, they might need a break from home, especially if things are really intense or dramatic. And so perhaps they can stay with you. They can stay with a relative, a family friend for a weekend, a week, a month, or maybe even an entire season because they need a break from the situation at home. And now I'm not suggesting that they run away from their problems, that they just abandon their family as if that's the solution to this. It's not. But a break, a breather is necessary at times because everything that these young people are going through, it wears on them. And healthy distractions are not a bad thing, and you can be that for them. Now, if you're in a position of leadership perhaps, or just not in a relationship where you can provide that, you can encourage them to seek that out, or perhaps if you're in that position, you could even help coordinate it for them. You can help coordinate that for them. And some practical ideas to do that you could use today is maybe brainstorm a solution to give them a break. Like, what would that look like in their lives? When would this happen? How would they, you know, go about that? Would it be with you or another relative or a family friend? And then ask that family if they'd be open to it. Like, if it's a family friend, you can approach them and say, hey, would you be open if, you know, this young person or these young people come and stay with you for a little while? And then you can propose to the idea to that young person if they're old enough, or through one or both of the parents, through a call, a text message, email, or maybe in person, of course, assuming you have some relationship with them. And then follow through on it. You know, set a reminder in your calendar if you need to follow up with the parent or with the young person to see if they need that break. And then obviously, like I mentioned before, is if you're a relative or you're someone who's close to that young person, you're in a much better position to do this. But even if you can't, you can encourage them to do it, or perhaps coordinate it for them. And so tip number three, give them a break. And I wanted to offer a kind of bonus tip here, and that is show them good marriages. Not long ago, a young woman shared with me that after witnessing the dysfunction in her parents' marriage, she wanted nothing to do with marriage. She didn't want to get married. And I felt the same as a teenager. Most of all, I just felt terrified of repeating the mistakes that my parents made. I wanted love, but I had no idea how to build it. And I think the same is true for almost all of us, is we want love, but we're not quite sure how to go about building it. And a big reason for that is we saw a broken model of love and marriage at home. And so we lack that roadmap for love, because more than anyone else, our parents teach us about love, how to build a relationship, and even how to build a marriage. And I remember as a young person, I thought, man, if this is where marriage ends, if this is the pain that it brings, why in the world would I want to go down this route? And so that problem can't be fixed overnight. And honestly, right now might not be the time to address it, depending where they are in the family situation, where they are in life. But one way to heal that broken concept of love and marriage is to show us what good marriages look like, not in theory, but in reality. And so if you have a good marriage, not a perfect marriage, but a good marriage, invite them to spend time with you or your family, if that's appropriate, given your relationship with them. And if you can't, again, do that yourself, maybe arrange it for them to spend time with a couple, with a good couple or a good family that you know. And you can remind them or encourage that family to remind them that they're not doomed to repeat the mistakes in their parents' marriage. They're not doomed to repeat their family's dysfunction. They can build healthy relationships and a great marriage. And in the 90 plus, almost 100 interviews that we've done on this podcast, one clear trend we've seen in all those interviews, almost all those interviews, is that spending time in the presence of a healthy married couple, spending time in the presence of a healthy family, is beyond healing. And it's even instructive. It gives us hope that we can have a beautiful marriage, a beautiful family, and we can even learn tactics, things we can do in order to build that lasting love, in order to build a healthy family and a great marriage. And so similar to last tip, some practical things that you can use today is, you know, brainstorm a way for them to spend time with you or another marriage or family. You can propose again the idea to them, to the young person, or perhaps one or both of their parents. And then again, coordinate or invite them over for a meal, a bonfire, maybe to help with house projects or whatever else. I would just recommend here, keep it simple to start. Keep it simple to start. At one point, it's not an exact example of this situation, but at one point I was called into a school to chat with a young woman who came from a broken family and her guidance counselor. And so I just sat with her for like an hour and a half, and it was great. Like, spending time with her was exactly what she needed. Now, that wasn't the situation where I'm recommending, you know, they spend time with you and your spouse or your family, but it was just, again, a simple way, a simple thing that I can do to help this young person who came from a broken family, just to talk about it with someone who gets it. So in a similar way, you can be that for them in terms of a model of a good, healthy marriage. And again, you might not think your marriage is perfect or good, but to them, it might be just infinitely better than what they're experiencing at home. And again, that can be healing and so hopeful and even instructive in how to go about building that yourself. And so that bonus tip is show them good marriages. And in closing, I wanted to offer a challenge. What's one thing that you learned from this episode that you can do today or tomorrow to help that person in your life from a divorced or a broken family? just do it. Keep it simple and just do it. Some helpful questions to help you kind of think what you want to do is, you know, who do you know from a divorced or broken family? Who do you know from a divorced or broken family? Likely because you're listening to this episode, you already had them in mind, but perhaps not. And then how have you seen them struggle? Again, they might seem fine on the outside, but really they're struggling interiorly. They're struggling on the inside. They're just good at hiding it from everyone else. Again, most importantly, what's one thing that you can do to just help them in that situation, whether they're wearing it on their sleeve or they're hiding it well? What's one thing you can do again today or tomorrow to help them? And as mentioned, you're invited to sign up for our new and free course titled Real Help, a guide to confidently help someone from a divorced or broken family. By signing up, you're going to learn studies and stories on how a person's broken family and their parents' divorce might affect them. You'll learn simple tools and tactics to offer real help. You'll learn how to overcome common barriers to helping someone, such as, like, how do you start the conversation? How to help them find a good counselor. We even offer some tips for marrying someone who comes from a broken family, and also some tips for how you can help the parents as well. And by going through the course, you'll be ready to understand their pain and experience, to do or say the right things and avoid the wrong ones. You'll feel competent and confident in offering help, knowing that you're doing the right things. And then you're going to learn about resources that you can use, that you can offer to them in order to help them. And most importantly, you'll help them begin to break the cycle of dysfunction and divorce in their own lives and avoid passing their brokenness onto the people that they love the most. You might be asking, who is this course for? It's really for anyone who loves or leads someone who comes from a divorce or broken family and wants to help them. And you might be a parent, grandparent, sibling, significant other, relative, friend, leader, whoever you are. If you want to get the course, it's really simple. Just go to restoredministry.com/real help, or just click on the link in the show notes. You can sign up for free. It's free for now, so sign up while it's still free, and then begin watching the videos. Again, it's 2 hours of content spread out over 33 videos. Most of the videos are 2 to 5 minutes long, and you can work through it at your own pace. Again, go to restoredministry.com/real help, or just click on the link in the show notes and get the course while it's still free. That wraps up this episode. If you know someone who's struggling from their parents' divorce or broken marriage, share this podcast with them, or for this particular episode, share it with anyone that you know who loves or leads people from divorce or broken families. And always remember, you are not alone. We're here to help you feel whole again and break the cycle of dysfunction and divorce in your own life.